Psalm 86, page 555. The psalmist David calls on the Lord to listen to his prayers and speaks of God's character. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving maid. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. This is the word of the Lord.
Keep that passage open, because I'm going to pray, and then we'll think about it more deeply. Let's stand, shall we, to pray. Heavenly Father, open this psalm to us now. Bring us your encouragement from it, and increase our faith as we come to ask for prayer for healing, to the glory of your name. Amen. So please sit down. Page 555, if you haven't got it open already, if you would take the Bible from underneath the seat in front of you. Page 555, Psalm 86. And as always, an outline on the screen, if it helps you, as it always helps me to concentrate by taking notes. You'll find the notebook and a pencil or pen in the seat pocket in front of you. One of the things I love about the Psalms is their honesty. They don't seek to cover up from God their difficulties or their confusion. They tell it exactly how it is. And something which the Psalms impress on us is that we all need God's healing. This Psalm 86 is the story of one man, yet precisely because it is in the book of the Psalms, it tells us not only that he needed God's help, but we all need God's help and healing. It's something which strikes me again whenever we have a service like this with prayer for healing. We all come into church looking as if we're coping with life, and for the most part we are. But as we come up and individually ask for prayer, it's quite clear that every one of us is at least in some way in pain or hurt or bewildered or suffering or battling in some area or some relationship or struggling in our relationship with God. We all need God's healing. And this psalm tells us that to receive his healing, there are certain things we must say and mean, all of which are here in Psalm 86. And the first thing to say is what this psalm starts with: I am poor and needy. The very first verse is a prayer. Look with me at verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Something which normally we don't like to admit, perhaps especially we men. We're quite happy to help other people in need, for example, poor children in a third world country, but we really don't want to face up to the fact that we are poor and needy. But the psalmist was honest enough to do that. And until we say it, we will never know God's healing. What exactly our need is will vary from person to person. We may be, says this psalm, in trouble. You'll see that in verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. And our trouble may be that we are really under stress. For example, we're not sleeping well at the moment. Or our trouble may be financial. The debts are piling up and we can't see how we're going to pay them off. Or it may be spiritual. You are an absolutely regular member of this church, but you haven't opened your Bible at home for months. Or you may be under attack. The psalmist was. Look now at verse 14. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. And you may have a member of your family, perhaps your wife or husband, who is constantly needling you about your faith. Or you have neighbors who are making life really difficult for you. Or in your case, the ruffians may be spiritual. There's some insistent temptation which is really plaguing you. You can be delivered from all these difficulties. You can be healed, but only when you admit to yourself, to God, and perhaps to some other person, as you ask for their prayer, that you are poor and needy. The second thing we must say and mean is something we say to God. You are good and forgiving. First, the psalmist says, verse 1, how needy he is. Then, verses 2 to 4, he asks for God's help. Now, look at what he says next in verse 5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Often our sin prevents our full healing. But let me tell you this on the authority of this wonderful verse and of the whole Old and New Testaments. There is nothing we have done that God will refuse to give. There's no sinful habit which we've got into, which, as long as we repent of it, would forfeit God's steadfast love. And God has never said to any human being ever who has called on him, I'm sorry, that's too much. There's just too great a gulf between what you say as a Christian and what you do. I cannot forgive you. He has never said that and never will. As verse 5 says, you, O Lord, are good and forgiving. This month, someone came and told me a secret, so of course, it's not something I can tell you, but I do have his explicit permission to tell you this. For years, he's felt a hypocrite. There's been such a mismatch between his Christian faith and how he's been living. But he's plucked up the courage to talk to a Christian whom he trusts. That is often a vital and essential step. It's now out in the open, at least with that one other person. He's also, and this is frequently important as well, been completely honest with his wife. And now he's forgiven. It's such a relief to him, such a joy. He feels whole again. And he knows in the depth of his experience that, as verse 15 says, and I'm sorry it's up in the moment as verse 16, should be 15, you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Or as verse 5 put it, you, O Lord, are good and forgiving. And the third thing we must say and mean is another thing that this psalm says about God. You are great and do wonders. Look now at verse 10, where the psalmist writes, you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. When we are poor and needy, which we all are in some area of our lives, when we need God's healing, which we all do in some way, it's very reassuring to know that our God is gracious, that he's gloriously willing to forgive any sin of ours which we confess and which may be contributing to our trouble. But we need more than that. And our God is not only good, he is also great. He is not only merciful, he does wonders. As the New Testament says, nothing is impossible with God. And that's where he differs from any human helper. I'm a pastor, and many of you have pastoral gifts, which you're exercising perhaps in your home group or in some other group to which you belong. But I often find people talking to me, and I expect you do too, where I think, I have no idea how to help you. I can listen, I can understand, I can sympathize, but I don't know how to make your situation different. Our God is never in that position. Because our God, your God, if you have given your life to him, is great and does wonderful things. And that's why verse 10 ends, you alone are God. In this service with prayer for healing, our God does not just come with prayer and sympathy. He comes with power. He comes with the ability to do wonders. He can break the hold that alcohol has on your life. He can take away your chronic backache. He can revive you spiritually when your Christian life has been withering. And that means we can and must say, I trust in you. Look at verse 2. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. We don't come to the communion rail today asking for prayer but not expecting anything to happen. We come trusting in the God who is great and does wonders. But equally, we don't come to the communion rail asking for prayer and demanding that God will work, feeling let down if he doesn't heal all of us instantly. We come trusting in the God who is great and wise and whose wonders are sometimes done as we are left with our thorn in the flesh, but with his power to support us. So let us not diminish God as we come with our prayer for healing. Let's be sure we say to him and mean it, "You are great, you do wonders." So how will this service end? Well, how does this psalm end? The psalm starts out with the worshipper saying in verse 1, "Lord, I am poor and needy." It ends, as you will see as you turn over the page, in verse 17, with these words, "You, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." If we're honest with God and with the person whom we ask to pray with us, if we let down our mask and acknowledge that in some area at least we are poor and desperately needy, and if we then look the God of the Bible full in the face and drink in the fact that he is both good and great, both forgiving of us and doing wonders for us, then indeed, whether healed of our trouble or asked by God to soldier on with it in his renewed power, every single one of us will leave very aware that you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Let us pray. John, do the prayers come at this point?